What's up, fam? Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Whoa, That's Good Wednesday, if I will. This is the last episode of the year. And like we've done the past few years, we are going to recap the best piece of advice we've gotten all year. But before we do that, I just want to give a huge thank you to all of you amazing podcast listeners. This year has truly blown my mind with how many of you have been listening to Whoa, That's Good and been encouraged by it. Some of my favorite compliments this year have been just when I'm out and about and the different states that I've traveled to speak at, when people come up to me and say, Sadie, I listen to your podcast every morning before school, or me and my daughter listen to it every night together before bed, and just so many different things that y'all have said this year that have meant so much and kept this podcast alive and going and thriving, honestly, more than ever. We're over 5 years in now, which is crazy. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I truly feel in some ways that we're just getting started. It's my favorite thing to do, and so I'm so grateful for all of y'all making it happen. Like I mentioned, one of my favorite comments was from a mom this year who said that her and her high school, or I think middle school daughter, listened to the podcast every night together because it just helps them have great conversations and in-depth conversations about their faith. So that was so cool. I've had so many college students come up and say they listened to it before class, high school students, and then beyond. I had so many moms listening in this year, dads, boyfriends, family. I mean, it really has just reached so many different people. But I wanted to read this one letter from a grandma that I got that I just thought was so powerful because we've also had really just all ages listen this year, but I thought this was really cool. So she sends me her book that she wrote, which was amazing because she wrote this book after listening to the podcast so much. She was inspired to do something that God called her to do, which was write a book. So she says that she listens to, I'm going to pick up just in the middle of the note, but she said she listened to my entire podcast at least 3 times, and she just started over at episode 1, which, first of all, that is wild. So thank you for doing that. Recently, you know, the Spotify things just came out, and some of you guys in that top 0.1% people, shout out to y'all. That was amazing. But she goes on to say, maybe someday we can meet and I can tell you the story of how I found encouragement to turn off true crime podcasting and tune in your podcast. In the meantime, there is a small snippet and shout out to your podcast in my new book. And then she says, I want you to have a copy because I found encouragement and your obedience that positioned my heart to hear God's call of my own. It was your words and the words of your guests that spurred me on when the enemy told me how insignificant I was and how this book wouldn't even make a difference. I want to extend a thank you to you. She goes on to say all this stuff. And I think, thank you, Christian, for that golf clap. Christian and John Luke are here today, which I'm going to get to them in just a second. Yeah, yeah. But I just really wanted to say thank you. I mean, the hope for these podcasts, I pray before every single episode that, you know, you would hear this episode exactly when you need to, that it would fall on your life at the perfect timing, that it would feel like a God moment, that it would be an answer to your prayers, and maybe some of you didn't even know you were praying. And so to see that someone heard the podcast and took the words of advice and really started living it is the goal. A couple little fun goals we had this year. So at the beginning of the year, we were like, okay, how many downloads do we want to hit each month? And last year we had hit like 1.8 million or something in a month, which was insane. And I'm beyond grateful for that. And so I was like, well, let's just make a goal to hit 2 million downloads in a month for the year 2023. And my team was like, you should do 2.1. Come on, push yourself. I was like, oh my gosh, 2.1. That just seems crazy. And so we wrote it down on paper, 2.1 million goals. That's like 2.1 million downloads. That would be like a goal. And then by March, I think we hit 2.6 or something. At some point this year, we hit 2.6, and it was pretty early on. 2.1 was hit in March. I think later on we hit 2.5 or 2.6 million downloads in a month. And so y'all really have just blown my mind. It's crazy. And I love it. So thank y'all. Okay, now I'm going to welcome my two incredible guests on the show. We have John Luke, my brother.
What's up?
Woo, woo, woo. And we have Christian, my hubby.
Cheers.
And because John Luke is on, we have incredible coffee. John Luke, tell us a little bit about the coffee we're drinking because this stuff is like, whoa, that is good.
So this is New Blend. I'm roasting coffee. That's what I do now. And this is our Duck Commander coffee that'll come out next year in January. I specifically made this with my family in mind, particularly my dad and grandfather. So like this is like the strong stuff, perfect for a coffee maker that you can have in the morning, perfect for duck hunts, and we all like it too. It's good in a latte as well.
It's so good.
It's great in a latte. I'm drinking straight black. Yep. It's delicious. You're drinking it with some
Are you really drinking straight black?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Good job, boo.
I always drink black coffee.
Yeah. Throwback to our first date when you were like, I always drink black coffee. And then we went to the coffee shop and you ordered a caramel frappuccino. And you said, I only
I travel, I splurge. But when I'm local, I drink black coffee.
No, this is Christian. When he goes to a coffee shop, he always orders a honey oat milk latte. You used to order a caramel frappuccino. Yep. But when you're at home, you make a black coffee.
If I were to go to the coffee shop right now, I would get black coffee.
100% you would not. You would get an oat milk honey latte.
Not here locally.
Are you serious? Yesterday.
Serious?
Yesterday.
You just said, are you serious?
Are you serious? Yesterday at the coffee shop.
I didn't get anything yesterday at the coffee shop.
No, but you said, I'm going to get a honey oat milk
latte. I've never been there. I was going to try it to see if it was good because you were raving about it. And I was like, okay, well, this is the standard. If this is really good, the standard, no pun intended. We have a coffee shop local called The Standard. This was not standard. I was saying, like, this is the bar. If you make a good honey iced oat milk latte, then to me, you're a good coffee shop. But if you can't, then it's like. So all that to say.
To all coffee shops out there, that you got to perfect
that's
that.
Standard.
If you that's want true, our business, true. You've got to make. Yeah, no, it is true.
Thank
yeah.
you. Because if you get me one and it's like all the honey's just at the bottom.
Clumped to the bottom.
It's, yep. it's not good.
Well, how do you avoid that happening?
You got to mix it in with the espresso. You got to mix it in first.
Yeah. Thank you. That's how I do it at the house. Yeah.
You just help some baristas out there. They're like,
or you could just heat up the honey and then pour it in there.
Yeah.
Another thing.
You can't really do that at the coffee shop. You got to mix it in with the espresso, but it's also like the milk to ice to espresso ratio.
All that to say, I'm drinking it black and it is very, very good.
Well, I'm not drinking it black. I'm drinking it with oat milk, honey, and cinnamon, and it's delicious. And I actually do like strong coffee because I like to put some sweet stuff in it, and then I don't like it to not taste like coffee after I put my sweet stuff in it. So I like the strong stuff, and it is absolutely delicious. And whenever I just said it's Boy That's Good Coffee, that just made me think we should make a Boy That's Good Coffee.
Wait, what?
You heard it here first. If we make a Boy That's Good Coffee, would you drink it? Comment below, and what would you want it to be like?
What kind of blend would you want? Would you want like a light blend? Medium or
dark roast?
I
can just go ahead and tell you it's not going to be light, friends.
Where would you want the bean from?
That's the thing. We go.
Oh yeah, John was telling me about some like honey beans or something.
Yeah, we're getting
It's not for Well That's Good. Sorry, fam. That's already taken.
It's for another one, but it's a honey Costa Rica.
Ooh. All right. Well, we could talk about coffee for a while. John Luke is roasting coffee. It's incredible. Can't wait for y'all to try it. Y'all definitely need to try the Duck Commander kind, and then maybe we'll make a Well That's Good one, which would be so fun. All right, we are going to go through the best piece of advice that we've gotten this year. Honestly, we've gotten so much good advice. I'm sure you both listen to every one of the podcasts.
Including the Sisters and Friends, yes. Uh-huh.
Right? Yep. Okay.
Yep, so, out of those 2.6 million downloads, I definitely contributed to at least one of them.
At least one. I'll at least take one. It. Hey, at least you listen to one. Was it the one that...
Well, I got to support. Yeah.
You might
and
not
how many of the
2.6
would be attributed to me?
Do you mean like you brought them there to listen or you listened to my podcast?
I'm saying, well, both.
You were totally talking about you got them there.
No, I attributed to a lot of the listens. No, it's
I just listened to the one Christian's on.
It's twofolded. Thank you. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, how many of those people are like, oh, Christian, I'm going to listen. So it's double folded. I attributed to probably 50 of the 2.6, which is
wow. That's actually really good.
Thank you.
It's really good.
And I probably partook. People probably listened because I was on.
That's a good confidence, babe.
So, I'm sure they did. I like to think I helped you get it.
I'm sure they did. But guess who's the biggest podcast of the year was? Guess who? My dad. Dad was the biggest podcast of the year. Yeah, which, you know, that was a really great podcast.
It was really good. You kind of had some like.
It was a clickbait title. It was. But it was true. The side of the Robertson family, people don't know, was what we talked about. And then that one. And then I think our Haven's Name Story was the second. And then the podcast with Mom, A Messy Conversation, one of them. So great podcast this year. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery, and I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it, and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Whoa, or just text Whoa to 500-500. That's Audible, AUDIBLE.com/Whoa, or text Whoa to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. All right, so we're going to go through the best piece of advice. Now, honestly, when I was going through all the best piece of advice that people gave, I could literally shout out every single person because there obviously wasn't really bad advice, which throwback to the early listeners. Who listened to Well That's Good before, I guess John Luke's lying.
I did.
He's lying. Okay, back
in
the day.
I was in the first season.
Okay, in the first season, yeah. if y'all remember.
Who was the first Well That's Good guest ever?
Okay, I don't know that.
Bob Goff.
Oh, there we go.
He started very strong. So the first season of Well That's Good, it was a lot shorter. We did like 20-minute episodes. And every time at the end of the podcast, I would call mom and I would say, is this good advice or bad advice? So we'd say, well, that's good or well, that's bad. And it was advice that I would get from Instagram. Like people would send in bad advice that they've gotten or good advice, which was kind of like a fun thing. So today we're going to go through this advice. Nobody gave bad advice. We don't do that anymore, even though that was pretty funny and we made sure to bring it back. What?
What percentage would you say that to these people it's good advice, but to somebody listening, they're like, I actually don't agree with that?
Well, I don't know. That's what we're going to go through.
That's what
we brought John Luke on.
I don't know.
Because this is perspective. Yeah, like, be like, you know, that could be heard wrong, you know, or this is what I think. So, you know, let's just pull it out.
Let's dig into it.
Okay. So this one was so good. And I love this episode. This is actually also one of our top 10 biggest episodes of last year and this year. It was Nick Vujicic. So, you know, Nick, who that is, he's incredible. His story is amazing. And that dude got on this podcast and he just preached the gospel. But I love, this was not actually his best piece of advice he gave. It's just a quote that he said that was so good. And he said, if I don't get a miracle, I can still be one.
That's good.
Whoa, that's good. See, I like that because me and my friend Grace were talking about this yesterday, actually. She's pregnant, and she was talking about how, like, she's believing for a miracle for her dad because he's sick right now, and it's really sad. And she was like, but I also am, like, I can't overlook the fact that even though if, like, God doesn't do a miracle in his life, God's literally doing a miracle in mine right now, the fact that I have a baby inside of me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, sometimes we overlook the miracles that we have right in front of us, and the fact that like we're alive, or that our brains work the way that they do, or that we can, you know, y'all can't, but I can have a baby grow inside of me. And like now those babies are honey in heaven. You know,
if
like
I did, that would be a miracle.
That would be a miracle and quite strange. But like, isn't that so cool? Like, it's crazy. We overlook crazy. These things. So I really love that. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I kind of took it a different way of like, I think that we think we're like ask God to do stuff for us. Mm-hmm. And how many people are asking God to do stuff for them? Like, you know, so many people around you are, and God often works through people, which means that most of the time we are going to be the thing that God is acting for someone else.
That's good. Like, yeah, that's so true.
That was how I took it too.
Ah, heck yeah.
I really did.
Really?
Yeah, but like the idea of, you know, like don't, like, but about blessing, like be a blessing to other people. Like
right.
If you haven't received a blessing or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like.
You could be someone's miracle.
You could be someone's miracle. I mean, just like if someone at the grocery store was like, I need $100. And then you walk in and give them cash back. Like.
Well, it's like Tupapa's story. Yesterday, did y'all hear that last night when Tupapa was sharing that story? So our grandpa, he's been on the show before, but he was basically saying that he had felt on his heart for a long time to give this person money to pay for their school. And he was like, okay, like he just kind of thought about it. Like he was pondering it. And then the next day he shows up to do something at kind of a random place. He was doing something random there, but the point of it was the person was late to get there that he was meeting with. He was like 40 minutes waiting in the car, and he could have been like, this is ridiculous. It's been 40 minutes. But while he was waiting, the girl he had been thinking about to pay for her school walks out and like not expecting her to be there. This is so random that she's even there. And he's like, okay. And she was on the phone. He was like, okay, if she sits in her car for a while, then I'll go up and I'll talk to her. But if not, then I'll just like wait till another time. Well, she sits in her car. So he gets out and he's like, hey. And he goes, she mentions the fact that she didn't have money to go to school yet, but she's like waiting. So like she mentions the very thing he's been thinking about. And then he's like, actually, God put you on my heart to give you the money to go to school. And she just started bawling because she said, this morning I prayed to God and I said, God, I need a breakthrough in this area. If you want me to go to school and if you want me to do this, and you're going to have to provide. And then that day, Tupapa shows up somewhere random to meet with a guy who didn't show up for his meeting. And that lady walks out of the store right beside it, and he was able to pay for her college the day she prayed. So
that's awesome.
To your point, that's so true.
See, yeah. That's good.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the negative thing that happened to you might be the blessing that's happening for someone else.
Boom. Whoa.
Your boy could have heard that one. Yeah.
Your boy could have heard that one. You just take that. Take that and soak that in. That's so good. That's going to be on our best piece of advice next year. That's a good moment.
Good. Put that. We'll talk about it next
year. We're going to extrapolate that one moment.
Yeah.
That was so good. Okay. Moving on. Again, I hate to even bypass the ones I'm bypassing. Jason and Lauren Kennedy's was one of the biggest podcasts of the year as well. It was incredible. Theirs was kind of, their podcast was one of those that their advice was really good, but it was really just hearing their story that was so inspiring. And actually Savannah Chrisley was just on, and she was talking about taking the advice from Sarah Blakely's life. And she was like, it's not really anything she said. It's just the way that she lives, you know? And I think that that is a good point, that sometimes it's not necessarily what someone said that's like, that is what I took, but it's what someone did, or the story that you heard, which makes me think of yesterday. We were talking about all the books we read this year, and I came in at a whopping 8, which was really good for me, but you know, the books were shorter. John Lewis came in at what, 36 books, and his books are like 1,000 pages long. So John Luke's always been that way. In elementary school, I could not get my AR points to save my life. And John Luke was literally on the wall at our library for getting the most points in elementary school. So we've always been opposite in that aspect. But talk about what you were saying, like the books that you read, it's not necessarily like, oh, you got this advice, but you like learn from the story itself.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about like what I said about the wing feather book series. So like I read a lot of fiction books, and so these are mostly like fantasy genre books. And one thing that I learned this year from the series, the Wing Feather Saga, was it wasn't really how, like, anything that happened in the book, but it was how he wrote it and how creative he was in creating this world and crafting the story about very serious topics like war and crime and rebellion, all these things, and children and how adults and children interact. But he crafted in the story that a 10-year-old would read it and absolutely love. And it really pushed me to think more creatively about life and how I tell stories and, like, oh, it's actually possible to tell a story, to teach a lesson in a much more creative way that all ages can listen to.
That's good. Oh, speaking of good advice, John Mark Comer.
That was just about to say that.
On the podcast, which is actually not out yet. I've teased this twice now because it was so good. So get ready for that one mid-January. But he said the story of the Bible is simple enough for a child to understand it, but complex enough for someone to study their entire life.
Yep.
So true. Yeah. And so to that point of, yes, like pushing yourself to even share things. For me, it's like, I want to share messages that, yes, a middle schooler can hear it and understand and be impacted, but also a grandma can hear it and be like, this changed my life, which I think Well That's Good is doing in a lot of ways. And so I love that. I love that advice. And if you are a fiction reader, or not even just a fiction reader, just you like reading in general, John Link's Instagram, you have been owning this like new Instagram, which is so cool because what I love about it is it's just you know? And I think, like, I don't know why you didn't do Instagram a lot before, but do you feel like you didn't do it because you didn't care about it and now you just are passionate about things? But what brought you back to the gram in such a, like, full-on way?
Yeah, that's kind of a complicated question. I mean, I think I just didn't really care about it as much. There wasn't as much in my life that I was, like, excited about to share at the time. And I guess I had this, like, fear of, like, I'll put it this way. This is maybe going off topic, but I feel like I'm what I was on Duck Dynasty at the time. So, like, 10 to 15 years ago, and who my family kind of was not exactly who I am now. Like, I feel like I'm a totally different person. 28-year-old John Luke is totally different than 18-year-old John Luke, as I should be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I was still 18-year-old John Luke, it would be concerning. Right. And so on Instagram specifically, the people following me, I had this feeling of, like, well, they followed 18-year-old John Luke. They're not going to care what 28-year-old John Luke is doing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to get over that fear of, like, owning who I am now versus, like, comparing myself now to who I was then, of like, I'm a new person, I'm into new things, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah.
I like stories, I like books, I like coffee, and, like, that's the thing I'm gonna share.
Dang, that's actually so good. In and of itself is really good advice, because I think that a lot of people feel that way, like, whether they're famous or not, of just like, man, I don't know how to fully be myself in this setting because people know me for who I was and not who I am. And what if they don't like me for who I am now because they expect who I was? Mm-hmm. Or what if they don't like me for who I was, but I'm not that person anymore. And they would love who I am now. I've grown. I'm not the same as I used to be. I think that's a tension that everybody walks in at some point in their life, and particularly at this age, because we all were different than we were at 18, as we should be.
Right.
Well, I think everyone you got stages. So you have, like, middle school, high school, college, job, you know? So I think everyone walks through that of, like, high school, like, this is what I posted in high school. Then you get to college and people are like, that was this weird, dumb thing to post. But it's like, but that's who I was when I was 14, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you go to college and then you get a job. And then it's like, yeah, all the dynamics shift. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't post that much then. So it's like, you could literally do two clicks and you could see what I posted in, like, 2013. Mm-hmm. It's like, that was a weird thing for a 13-year-old to say. But it's like,
well, that's what everybody's roasting me for my Man Crush Mondays. You're like, you were too old for that. You were 15. I'm like, okay, but at the time, 15-year-olds did do that. We were cheesy. Now, 15-year-olds are very cool. And they
Which
do
me
cool
and Jacob
TikToks.
Were talking about this the other night. Yeah. Do you remember back when people used to do, like my post for TVH?
Yeah, I did that.
I totally did that. Yeah.
Or like SFS, shout out for shout out.
Yeah.
It was like, follow my boy Jacob. We had like 50 followers.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
I think just to bring it to this, I'm talking about Instagram, but I think people mostly feel that, because I did too, whenever they like go off to college and then they come back.
That's so true.
Or whatever, they leave their family or space for a time period and they come back.
Yep.
And then it's like everyone wants you to go back to who you were, but you're trying to like express who you are now.
That is so true. I truly do, like on my Facebook where it says like, oh, you posted this 10 years ago. I just cringe because I'm like, why did I post that? That's so dumb. Or I'm like actually embarrassed that I was that way, you know, because there are things that Facebook shows me that I didn't recognize in myself at the time. Mm-hmm. Like when Duck Dynasty happened and everything, I was like, I didn't change, you know, like, why did my friends think I did? But then I read some of my posts and I'm like, that's why they thought I did, because that was a dumb thing to say. You know, like, why did I didn't need to post that and share that. Like, that was maybe trying to show off or maybe trying to prove something that I wasn't or whatever it was. And you can hindsight look back and go like, now I can see, I have a little more perspective, and I'm like embarrassed by that. But then you got to give yourself the grace to grow and to learn. And I think that's so true. Like sometimes I think about this being back here when I run into people in high school, like I hope they don't still see me and hold me to who I was, and I don't need to hold them to who they were, because we could be such different friends now. We're in such different scenarios and scenes now. And so this is a really great.
Well, funny, I'll share a quick funny story. Not funny at the time because it made me very upset and insecure. But it was when I was in high school, we went to the Bahamas on this trip, and I posted a photo of me like with like sharks, like kind of posing with like sharks. That was a really cool photo. And when I got to college, I was in a fraternity, and like the first week, like all the fraternities had to like go in this like big auditorium room. We had like a guest speaker kind of talk about like, you know, the roles of it, the importance of it, like how to, you know, what not to do, all that kind of stuff. And all these other fraternities were calling me Shark Boy. And it made me I was so insecure. I was so sad. But it wasn't even guys I was friends with. They were just calling me Shark Boy.
You never told me that.
I just thought about it. I was like, that actually really upset me.
Are you crying?
No, I'm crying laughing.
I'm crying laughing.
Tears are being shed over Shark Boy. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
But they were calling me Shark Boy because at the time my hair was, I was like, maybe they're calling it because like my hair was spiky.
Yeah.
Like Nina Taylor Lautner from Shark Boy.
Oh, no.
But no, it was because I posted a picture with sharks and they like roasted me.
It's a good Shark Boy.
I'm sure it was a great picture.
I'm sure it was really cool. Well,
it's still on my Instagram.
It is?
Yeah, I didn't delete it.
Oh, we're going to have to pull up Shark Boy.
Everyone go like and comment.
You've had two moments like that in your life. Moly.
Okay, well, why are you bringing that up?
Okay, Shark Boy is really cool, though.
Shark Boy is way cooler than Moly. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think you've shared about Moly on the podcast before.
I don't think so. Moly, yeah. Just real quick, this is not in any way interesting. Moly, I was in sixth grade, and we were going to play a state championship, or we were going to play a tournament for baseball, and all the other kids on my team shaved their heads, so I was like, I'll go do it. So we were literally on the interstate, pulled over this like Supercuts or something, and I shaved my head, and turns out I had moles all over my head. And obviously in middle school, you can't wear hats. So I got called Moly. So I've never shaved my head since then.
I love how you started this. This is in no way interesting at all. That was pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, it was fine in baseball because I could wear a hat. But obviously, you know how small my head is. So then my hat didn't fit.
Yeah.
Because like I shaved all my
your hair to make your hat.
Yeah.
Fit.
I have like the smallest head ever, and I shaved all my head. I shaved all my hair off, and my hat didn't fit.
That is sad. So, on a total different note, let's go to the next piece of advice. Okay. Love this piece of advice. Katie Davis Majors, the girl who went to Uganda. Kisses from Katie. Mm-hmm. You heard? Okay. So she said, a young life leader she asked the young life leader, how am I going to know what God wants me to do? Common question asked by most people. And then they responded, God is so much more concerned with who you are going to be than what you are going to do. Just focus on who you are going. Sorry, I keep saying that with the wrong emphasis. Just focus on who you're going to be And then he will like share with you what you're going to do, or it'll just happen, basically is what you were saying. And I love that because I'm still laughing over Molly because I'm looking at y'all and you're still tears in your eyes. Okay, sorry. I love that piece of advice because that's so true. So many people stress out about like what they're going to do. And I really do think that God is like that verse that we talk about, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So it really is a kind of whatever you do, but more so like, who are you going to be? Which we were just talking about going through all the Bible Project videos. And it's just, you know, sad that Israel they just kept turning on God time after time after time after time. And then, you know, there's that verse, I think it's in Micah, and it talks about, you know, walk humbly, love justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Mm-hmm. And basically the context of him saying that was y'all are acting like you're worshiping, but you're not living like you're worshiping. So therefore your rituals and your worship doesn't mean anything to God because you're not living like it. And they said, if you really are going to love God, if you really are going to worship God, then you would, you know, walk humbly, you would love mercy, you would, this is the way that you would be living. I think that's so good. And I think sometimes we concern ourselves so much with like what we're going to do and overthink it. And then we're not actually just being the people that God has called us to be. But if you focus on who you are, and then I think what you do would just kind of flow naturally from that. I think it's a back to your Instagram.
Yeah.
When you started focusing on like who you are, what you do on Instagram, what you share, naturally begin to flow because you love coffee. You love making it. So that's what you're doing. You love reading. Now you're helping people find books that they should read and coffee that they should try. And like, that was all coming off of like who you are and what you're passionate about. But it's hard if you try to like flip that order and you try to figure out what you're going to do first.
Right.
Because then I think it also, you might be confused on who you even are in the process, you know?
Yeah.
Any thoughts? All right, let's move on.
Wait, I do have a thought on that.
Sure.
Okay, so just thinking, like, that just makes me think about we think about a lot, like, what does God want me to do,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you look at the Bible and the people in it, most of them, God told them to do, like, one thing. And they were, like, 30 years old or 80 years old or whatever, which means that, like, I do think God has something specific planned for all of us in each individual, one of us, but that might be like one thing.
Yep.
And that means there's a ton of time that you just have to like live and be faithful and just in every moment, just do the things that, you know, God is telling you to do.
That's
patience,
so true.
Kindness, goodness, self-control, like, all of that is like building.
That is such a good point. And the one thing might not be as specific as you think it is. Like, mm-hmm. like you just said, like
right.
patience, goodness, all those things are things that you should do. But the one thing, like for instance, I feel like the one thing that God called me to do was when I was 17 years old and I was asking the Lord, what are you calling me to do?
Right.
And I really felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. It was like imprinted on my heart. Be a good sister and a friend to those who don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is like specifically the one thing I felt like the Lord has said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that's led me to do is start a podcast because mm-hmm. that's how I can reach people is to right. be a good sister and a friend to those who don't have one. How am I going to do that? Start a podcast. We'll start blogging. When blogging was the thing, we actually still do our blog because that was the thing we started with. Instagram, I can do that through social media. I can do that through YouTube. And so that one thing that was kind of this broad, like, this is what I'm calling you to do, led me to the more specific things. But I don't think necessarily God said, like, start a podcast.
Right.
You know, I think, yes, he, like, led me to do that. And I'm doing it and being faithful to that. But I think that sometimes if we get so specific with, like, what it is, then sometimes we can feel like we're failing, we're not doing that thing, but maybe it's outside of your control to do that thing.
Right.
So if you think like God called me to like speak to the nations, well, then you might be like, well, and God does call people to speak to the nations. I'm not saying he doesn't, but if it's like not, if it's not tangible and he doesn't, you know, create the way to do that,
right,
then you might be like, God, you said this, why aren't you doing it? But I think if God calls you to it, he really does like send you there. He will equip yeah. you for it. That
right.
makes sense. I
yeah.
think sometimes we get so specific in thinking like it has to be this one way that I'm going to speak to the nations, and it has to be like thousands and thousands and thousands of people or whatever, when it might just be like, no, like go to the nations and speak to the villages, speak to the people. Like it's more broad than like a specific platform or a specific outlet or a job title. Because I think if it's able to be taken away, then it might not be necessarily your calling.
I was going to say, yeah, you could look at that as a job and then you get fired and then it's like...
Then you're like, am I not doing my calling?
Or, yeah, or you feel like, yeah.
One thing I thought of is like writing a book, because we're talking about books here. Like when you write a book, especially like a nonfiction book, there is a lot of time of not writing the book that you need to write the book.
So true.
Like the book I wrote, you know, whenever I was young, the first book I came out with, it was about 6 years of knowledge, like packed into that one thing. And in books we write now, like it's a lot of time of not thinking I'm doing this to write this book, but of researching and studying of just things that we're naturally interested in.
So true.
That then all come together at some point to be a book.
So true.
Or to be something, mm-hmm. you know? And that's, so like when you think like, I need to write a book, well, that will be a natural outflowing of all the things you've already been living for the past 10 years mm-hmm. of you not thinking about writing the book.
That's so true. Someone just said to me recently, they have a great job, just started the job. And they said, oh, well, you know, sometimes I just look around and I'm like, I should be writing a book. I should be doing a podcast. I should be, because I look at other people my age and like they're doing stuff like that. And I was like, friend, let me just tell you from personal experience, like, this that you're doing right now might one day be what you talk about on the podcast, might be what you one day write in the book. But it's the worst feeling ever to start writing a book and have no words to say. It's like the SpongeBob moment when you're sitting there for hours and hours and hours and you get the, because you didn't live the life yet, you know, or you want to start a podcast, but you don't have a concept yet. You don't have, you know, I think the best thing that's good has been that it hasn't felt like work in so many ways. It hasn't got tiring. I still love it because it was just like a natural thing. I love asking people what like their best piece of advice. I do that in life. You've seen me with different people that we've been around. I'm like, give me the best piece of marriage advice. Give me the best piece of life advice. And so I love doing that. I love seeking that. And that's the thing that I think I'll forever love. I don't know if it'll forever look like a podcast, you know, that would be kind of crazy. But for right now, it does. And then I can go on to continue to do that in other ways and other forms. So I think really what I meant by the beginning of this is like, God will call you to stuff, yes. And it might be a broad thing like speak to the nations. It might be a broad thing like sister and friend. It might be a broad thing like this or that. But I think be careful about thinking that it's like a, unless you really feel like it, it's like a specific mm-hmm. like format or a specific job title or thing. Because, you know, I remember in 2020, we had all of these plans that year, mm-hmm. and I was so overwhelmed at the beginning of the year. How are we going to do all really these things? We felt very called to those things. Mm-hmm. I really felt like God said, we were supposed to go to London. We were supposed to do all this stuff. And then COVID hit, and we literally could not get to London, like not an option. And I felt like wrestling with the Lord, like, God, I thought you said go to London. I thought you called me to that. And I felt the Lord just kind of speak to me in this moment. Again, when I say speak to me, I don't hear audibly, but it's like one of those, you couldn't tell me he didn't say it. Like it felt so real, you know? And I felt like the Lord said, just because, you know, the location's different, just because the calling's different, and I'm botching it exactly how I heard it, but he was basically saying that doesn't mean that the prayers have to change. That doesn't mean your heart towards it has to change. Like do what you're gonna do there, where you're at, you know? And so I think that was like a good lesson for me, that just because I didn't get the opportunity doesn't mean that the call changes, doesn't mean that the heart of it changes, that you're still going to preach in the word. You're still being faithful where you're at. And so that's what I mean by that, because you could get super specific and then COVID hits and you're like, God, what the world? But then he's like, hey, I'm still calling you to, you know, reach people, touch people. It just mm-hmm. might look different. Which actually leads me to skip around a little bit to Donna Stewart, who said, bloom where you're planted. which I think that's really a great piece of advice, because sometimes like you can't go to the location or you can't get out there and reach that place. But like, where are you planted and what can you do right where you're at? I think that that's been like special piece of advice for us here, because we're in West Monroe and people always ask me, like, you know, different people we work with, oh, where are you based? And I say, oh, Louisiana. They're like, oh, really? You didn't like move to Nashville? You didn't go to LA or Dallas or Atlanta or whatever? And I'm like, oh, well, I did for a couple years, but then I came back. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. And I think it's just like different, because most people, I think they think if I'm going to do something like big, I have to be in the big city. But then I think like, I love where we live so much. And if everyone left who like had these like big desires for their city, then like where we're at would never blossom, you know? And so it's cool to see like so many people here and coming back here. Like I think about Cory Bar, who started like an amazing, two amazing restaurants, about to be three, in our hometown. And like, I'm so thankful that he bloomed where he was planted, you know, because now people come to West Monroe and they're like, I can't believe you have restaurants like this. They're so good. And we're like, well, thank you, Cory Bar, for coming back and like blooming where you're planted. And so I think that goes for everyone. That's whether, you know, I obviously do like ministry stuff, but if the chefs didn't do that, if the restaurant owners, if the doctors, if the, you know, teachers, like if we didn't bloom where we were planted, then where we're at and where we love and our hometowns wouldn't have flourishing like they do, you know? So I think there is such a like itch these days to like move to the big city. Mm-hmm. And not that there's anything wrong with that. You got to bloom where you're planted there too. But there is something really beautiful about not underestimating what God can do where you're at, even if it looks insignificant. And that's what God did in the Bible over, I mean, a little town in Bethlehem, you know, like, it's like, that's what he does so often.
It's so true. Bloom where you're planted. You can't bloom if you don't give it time.
Boom. Can't bloom if you're not planted.
That's true. But I was thinking like, you could be like a little sprout, but you got to like full on blossom.
It's true. It does take time. Yeah. We had some friends say one time, they were moving around and looking for roots. And I remember sharing with them, you're not going to find roots. You got to grow roots. You know, you're not going to like move and find the root. Mm-hmm. You got to plant yourself and grow the root, you know? And so, yes, be in the place that you're ready to grow the root in, but that's not something you find. It's something you grow. And I think for us, when we moved here, we were like, oh, wow, like this is actually harder than we thought. Just moving to a new place, even though I was from here, like you mentioned, everything kind of changes when you come back. But it's like, okay, let's start growing. And we did. And now we're seeing like blossom. We're seeing it blossom. It's really, really cool.
A super bloom.
Okay, this is really good piece of advice. Kind of on the same note, Earl McClellan said, don't let anyone else build your world for you. If they do, they will build it too small. Boom.
It's good.
Do you think, in y'all's own minds, do you think that y'all ever face that, like someone building your world and building it too small? Are you thinking about your life and like shooting it too small for what God was going to do? It's okay if you didn't. Just wondering.
It's a good question. Well, the first part, no, because I've never like idolized someone to where it's like, that's like my whole kind of, you know, framework kind of thing. But the second part, I mean, I feel like we all kind of deal with that to some extent of, whether it's questioning value or it's any kind of things like that of, yeah, like how much can God use me or like am I thinking too small? I think like there's the quote that's like, you know, we're never going to get to heaven and, you know, we ask God to do too much through us or something like that. I might be botching the quote. Yeah, I think we all, to some extent, I mean, I'm just kind of rambling, but yeah, I think that we all can have a smaller grasp of that.
I like what you said though at the beginning, like I've never idolized what someone thought too much. Like you're like, no, because I wouldn't have thought because someone said that it really like landed on me. But I think a lot of people do. Like a lot of people let what people say about them, speaking of blooming, like let it be a seed in their heart and that grows. And then they think less of themselves. They don't value themselves. They don't think they can do all the things that God has for them, or they underestimate what they can do. I mean, this person who wrote this letter to me, she was saying that how insignificant she felt. But yet at the beginning of her letter, she writes about who she is, and she's a teacher and she's a grandma and she's a mom. And she's all these things. I'm like, Well, that's not insignificant. You're teaching people. Like, that's an incredible position to be in. You're setting an example for the students. You're a mom and a grandma. You have such influence in your kids' lives and the next generation. And so I think sometimes we downplay even the roles that we play, even to say insignificance would be, you know, if you think a mom or a grandma or a teacher is insignificant, then you're missing a huge amount of influence that you have. Someone's best piece of advice was, I think it was Bethany Hamilton. Yeah. She said, if you want to change the world, go love your family, which was the advice from Mother Teresa, which mom has in her bathroom, you know, above her mirror every day. My mom sees that. And I think my mom has been such a world changer by the way she's loved us. You know, she's done incredible other things to touch the world. But I think her first form of that was the way that she taught us and raised us to be. So nothing's insignificant. Nothing should be devalued.
I was going to say on the quote, Read the quote about the world, the one you just read.
Don't let anyone else build your world for you. If they do, they will build it too small.
So I actually was thinking about a Mother Teresa quote for that one too, of when she said, and I'm botching the quote, but if it falls on your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep the streets in a way that glorifies God. Or be the best street sweeper that they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And thinking about that of like, we all have like bosses, right? We have people, most people. I mean, even if you work for yourself, you still are accountable to other people.
Yeah.
But most people have someone that is a boss. They are creating the work that we're doing and telling us what to do, right? So I think about that in regards to that quote of how do I make my own world whenever I have someone telling me what to do?
Mm-hmm.
And someone who's actually been really inspiring to me lately is, I've been seeing this guy on Instagram like a ton and on TikTok. He's the guy who, he does the pizza. I mean, he works for Papa John's and he like does all these crazy things with his pizza. And he said the other day, like, I'm going to make the best pizza I possibly can.
Wow.
And he's like doing all the, you know, he's spinning in the air and doing all these stuff. And he's just like an employee.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm going to do this to the best of my ability.
Wow.
And thinking about that, of whatever our job is, whatever our boss is telling us to do, whatever lot we fall in, we still have the ability to create our own world. Like, we're choosing to do this work. Whatever it is, we're choosing to go into work every day. We're choosing the work that we, how we get to do the work that is given to us.
That's so good. It makes me think of Elon Musk said about inventing the Tesla. He was saying, I didn't think like, oh, I'm going to reinvent the car. He said, I wanted to invent the greatest car you've ever seen. So it's not like remaking the thing that's already made that's great. It's making what's already made better than it ever has been.
Right.
And I actually think about that with our team that you said that. So I technically, I guess, would be the boss, but I can only do I can only pitch vision for LO as much as our team is able to do it, right? And I think about where we're at right now, and we have such a great team. And we had a meeting yesterday, it was a vision meeting for 2024. And I was throwing out all these ideas that I'm so excited about that just make sense, that are gonna just help reach so many more people and all these things. And I told them, I couldn't have done this before having you people on our team. Like, the only reason I can create something like this is by thinking about your talents and your abilities and your work ethic, knowing that you're actually going to be capable of doing it. And so it's so true. When you step into a space and you're willing to give it your all and you're willing to say, like, God, I'm going to do this for your glory. I'm going to use everything that you put in me to create or to work or to build or to grow. It really does. Like, when you bring that with a team or you bring that with a business, it helps everything grow, helps everything flourish. But if you come and you're just like, dragging your feet, you're hurting the whole team. You know, you always think, I think people always think like their insecurity and their lack of effort or laziness just affects them, but it always affects everyone around you. You know, your negativity, your insecurity, your this, your that, you think, oh, it's just affecting me. And you're being miserable, but it affects everyone around you. So what a gift it is to show up positively. What a gift it is to show up ready to work and give it your all and use the gifts that God has put on your life. Okay, we're running out of time. So let's see. there's any others. Another podcast I just want to shout out from this year is Mia Fields. If you didn't listen to it, it was an incredible podcast. Again, great advice, but you really learn from the way she lived her life. So she was just telling a story about meeting her husband and believing for her husband and then believing for a baby. And the doctor literally said, you are not going to have a baby naturally. And she said, I'll call you when I'm pregnant. And 2 weeks later, she literally got pregnant, called the doctor like, hey, I'm pregnant. And it was such a God thing. Because they had been trying for a long time. She actually medically, like, she had, like, a crazy tumor, got it removed, to the point where she really should not have had a baby unless it was the Lord, and the Lord provided. And just the story is amazing. She had, like, she talks about having an evidence box of, like, evidence of God's faithfulness. And she would, like, put things in her evidence box to remind her of his faithfulness when she doubted. Such a cool story. So go listen to Mia Fields if you didn't hear that one. Lastly, I'll end with this one, Jackie Hill Perry. Great podcast. Well, and Jason Mia. That one just came out, mm-hmm. and that was one of definitely fan favorite of the year. Might be one of the biggest ones. It just came out, though. But it was incredible. You can learn so much from Mia's life and the way that Jace is as a father to her. But Jackie Hill Perry said this in her devotional book, and we quoted it, The Godly Ask God Questions. And it was from that verse, and this has just really stuck with me. It was from the verse, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And she said, you know, when you think about that verse, that's a good verse. It's a cool verse. And I've said that verse so many times and just like a positive note. But she was like, if God's ways are higher than ours and His thoughts are higher than ours and His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts and you're being led by Him, then you got to ask Him questions because you don't understand His ways and you don't understand His thoughts and they're not your ways and they're not your thoughts. So you got to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And we talked about like the balance of asking God questions without accusing God, without questioning Him in a doubtful way, but asking Him questions in like a curiosity way. And it was just such a good podcast. It really helped me grow. I think even in my like talking to the Lord and praying and asking God questions, not on like a, why aren't you doing this? I don't understand, blah, 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 but more like a, help me understand. How do I react in this scenario? How do I trust? How do I have faith? How do I live in this way? Because I don't understand it. It's not what I would have done for myself. It's not what I would have thought for myself. Teach me how to think about it. Like, that was such a cool thing. I don't know. I just learned a lot from that.
Love that. I never thought about it like that.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Cool.
So, honestly, I just have to say, this was a great year of Whoa, That's Good. And I have learned so much. I think one of the reasons I love doing the Whoa, That's Good podcast so much is because I genuinely get to learn every single time I get to interview someone. Every single conversation I have on the couch, I grow from. I love. It's helped shape me to be a better person. So, just as you're growing and listening and loving it, just know I'm doing the same thing alongside of you. Every one of you that has sent a DM, I just want to thank you for comment. Thank you for whether you've given us a rating or shared it with a friend. We're so, so grateful. I hope to keep doing this for the next 5+ years. It really is my favorite thing. And I'm just so grateful for who it's made me become. And I'm so grateful for all of you for being so encouraging. I always ask this, but I always say, leave in the comments, you know, what you want us to talk about next, who you want us to have on. If you have a question, if you have a piece of advice or a bad piece of advice you want us to talk through, please comment, please send it in. Your comments really do help drive this podcast. It helps the conversations that we have. When we see stuff that y'all are asking or working through or talking about, we note it, we jot it down, we think about it, and we actually want to speak to the problems that y'all are walking through and speak to the seasons of life that y'all are in. So love y'all so much. Thank you so much for being a listener, and thanks Jean-Luc and Christian for coming on the podcast.
Of course.